Father, the world is crowded, Lord, with turmoil, unrest, disaster, racism, death, famine, killing. It's a whole lot, Lord, a long list, Father, of troubles. But Father, we are thankful that we are not alone. Israel, Lord, as a nation, seems to be all alone. She is a people, your people, chosen before the foundation of the world, that you might bring forth a redeemer. And for all that happened, Lord, in history, that which you have recorded in the Holy Book, a people that turned out to be quite rebellious. But Lord, in your handiwork, the thing that you are doing is truly, Father, very hard for many people to comprehend. But when we come to the revelation and understanding, the Lord, you want a people that can have faith, that could look to you and believe in everything you promise. Men like Abraham, who believe what you promised, what you said to him, Lord. And that's why he never was alone. You were always with him. Lord, here we are today as a people. We are not Israel. But we have truly Lord Abraham as our father of the faith. And help us, Lord, to believe, to stand the way he stood, Father, for all this number of years that you dealt with him, putting him through fiery trial. Surely, Lord, no man, no one would want to go through such trial. Just not a minor little thing, but a trial that Abraham experienced, Lord, is something no one would like to go through. But that old man, he has such great faith in you, holding on to your promises that you have given him, concerning that he will be fathers of many nations. And here we are, Lord, a people, different races. We are proud, Father, Lord, to know our Father Abraham. And we pray, Father, that we will hold our faith as strong as he did. Always looking to the promise of your coming. the blessed hope. We do not want to be for a moment, Lord, sidetracked and find ourselves just carelessly, Lord, wandering back into the world. Because we might be frustrated, like Sarah, who couldn't wait to have a son and create a little problem, not just for Abraham, but for his descendant, and the problem that we see today. And many times we create problems, not just for ourselves, but for the brothers and sisters in the church, but our behavior, but our selfishness, egoism. If we only, Lord, would look to you and look at ourselves, what we should be before your face. So, Lord, we're not here this morning to have a happy time. Because even as Paul said, when we can't break the bread of life, we are here to be judged, even now, by the word of God. That we may know ourselves, Father, what we have been doing, what we have, how we have walked before you, and how that you have encouraged Abraham, so encourage us, Father, to walk before you. And also be with you, Lord, leading and guiding us, Lord, through the rest of the journey till we come to see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. In that day, Lord, we are looking forward to it. And we thank you, Father. So bless us now, Lord, as we enter into thy word, and just to be encouraged, O Lord, by your word, and be edified for the hour we believe in. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may sit. We'll continue and just touch for the next hour and finish off with this series on Revelation. And last Sunday we finished off in saying that how Christ dealt with the temptation of Satan, and how that he was not persuaded to go out of the word that was given to him. I don't know how many of you, when you read the Bible concerning Christ, what is in your mind when you look at a temptation? Do you consider that, well, after all, Jesus Christ, he was the Son of God, there should be no problem for him to go through life because God is always there to protect him, this and that. We always think that because Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he was therefore supernatural, and he could take care of himself being God. And sometimes we have these ideas, you know what I'm saying? This idea, they seem to be very easy for Jesus Christ. But we must not forget that Jesus Christ was the Son of God when he came, and he is still the Son of God, of course. But in that time when he came, we always must understand that he was human as could be. And you know, many times when he was in the city preaching, and in other places too, many times he sensed that people were going to kill him. They were going to throw a stone at him and all this. Very quickly, when he see there is something that is going on that was not right, he quickly get out of the way.
So when you come to this time of temptation, why did Jesus Christ have to go to the wilderness and spend time with the Lord in fasting? After all, he did not have to fast. He could just begin his ministry, right? After all, you know, he is the Son of God. But here, basically, we must completely look at the 100% nature that is human. And him being a minister, a prophet, he had to fast to strengthen himself. Deny the sensation of the five senses. Because we are human. He was human. And therefore we are all always feeling these five senses, and we crave for this, we crave for that. And Christ is a good example. Now his fast was not a supernatural fast, and some people believe that he was a supernatural fast. It was not true. The only supernatural fast you want to talk about is Moses, because he was caught in the pillar of fire with the Lord. He never even took water. But Jesus took water. The only thing he didn't take was food. And so while he was fasting out there, as they passed, of course, the body started to hunger. Here came the devil, started to tempt him. And as he continued again, the devil still tried to tempt him, one time after another. Now, as I said last week, that if you read the Bible, it seems that, well, that it was after 40 days that the devil tempted him. Some people like to read that. But it seems to be that the text so appears that why he was fasting. But if you want to take it after 40 days, that's fine. Because after 40 days, when you really finish your fasting, where would you go? You would go home. You would not want to walk up to a high mountain, would you? You know. So Jesus Christ was fasting in the wilderness. Sometimes he just go to a temple, and sometimes he just go out there to the mountain. You know. So when you are fasting, you might want to, well, go to a place to fast. You will not know how long you will fast. You have to fast 2-3 days, then you come back home, then take something else, and then you go back to another place to fast. And then someday you come to church and fellowship, and then after that you go back to another, maybe a place in the forest, somewhere in the reservoir here, and you fast all alone by yourself. So apparently Jesus was moving. And that's when the devil came and tempted him. And always remember Jesus Christ, being that he was the Son of God, he had to fulfill the scripture. He had the word of God, so he must always contain the word of God within himself and will not deviate from it. And that's why when the devil came with him against him 3 times, these 3 times he rebuked the devil with the word of God and said, "It is written in the scripture. It is written." And you know, you and I, we are children of the living God. We cannot try to fight the devil with our own words or whatever the words of man. One of the sons of Skyver, right? And he tried to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preached. You know. He may know Paul's message, but quoting what Paul talks about in the name of Paul, that's not going to work. You know. So as a believer, always remember, stay with the scripture. Alright, now let's go to one place here. In the book of Mark, chapter 12. Let's see the things that happened in the days of Jesus, Mark chapter 12, how that we have all these traditions and ideas about what truth is. You know, Every religion believes that they have the truth.
Well, but as far as pure truth is concerned,
no, all religion don't have it all. You can go to any church, you don't have the truth in pure form. And the only pure form of truth that is to be found is only one person, that is Jesus Christ. You know. Alright, so here we have in Mark chapter 12, verse 18. And it reads here, says that then come unto him the Sadducees, which says there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother died and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seeds unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died, left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seventh had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? Good question. When we say this, first of all, the Bible tells us in verse 18 that these Sadducees, they do not believe in resurrection. Now, I can never for my life understand a people who don't believe in the resurrection yet believe in Moses and all that. You understand what I'm saying? If there is a church that says, we don't believe in resurrection, then you're here, you come worship God and you don't believe in resurrection, so you die, there's nothing. Isn't it kind of strange? Huh? But here he is, and they pose this question to Jesus Christ. And here's what Jesus Christ said in verse 24. Jesus answered unto them, do you not therefore err, because you know not the scripture? That's true, huh? Neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither married nor are given in marriage, but are as the angel which are in heaven, and as touching the dead, that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spoke to him and said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore do greatly err. Now, I mean, this service, this post don't know the scripture, but scripture said so. And yet, how come they are not looking at it? Why? Because some great guy somewhere before them have said something that passed down to them and they hold on to it. And this is what we have the problem in religion today. Not only just in religion, and you know, sometimes the religion can be very scary. It's so exaggerated. You know, in Singapore, we have this 7 month thing. Huh? And you know, it was many years ago, it was in the report in the newspaper. People that came from Hong Kong, I don't know where Taiwan or Hong Kong, came to Singapore, and they were also the same people who believe in this sort of thing. And they came and they saw, they couldn't believe the joystick was so huge. You know, in Singapore, you have a giant sized joystick. Have you seen it? Yeah. Goes up to as high as almost to the second floor. Her second story. Huge. And they were saying that we don't have that back there in our country. Whose idea was it to make it bigger? And what idea it is that? What logic is that? But the logic is our superstition. The bigger it is, must be better. You know. So it is all this idea that men passed down. Somebody studied it to make money. That's why we have all kinds of days in around the world. Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day. Whatever day it is, as long as it's not Labor Day. All these days are created by Catholicism just for making money. No wonder the Bible said about make rich the merchant, huh? You know. And those who have got also studied, the merchants are all Catholic anyway. So we have religion that is based on somebody said so and pass it down. And yet the scripture, I mean, for those who do not have scripture, you know, those pagan and all the other superstitious religion, they don't have scripture, so they go as where's that? They can create their own religion. But when it comes to people who are supposed to be connected to the Bible and they do not know the truth, it is really very, very, very sad. You see, here we have the denomination. Let's just think for a moment. The denomination. If I was in the church and in the exam school, I didn't know. I thought all denominations they are just denomination. But I'm the examiner of God. This group has come so far off. We are in the Bible. We have the truth with, because I was looking at church history. And I know that God moves. But I didn't know how deep in bondage I was when I was in the system. Until the message came and I began to see that the whole of the system is part and parcels of the one world order of the church called Babylon. Mystery Babylon and her daughters. So now if we look at denominationalism, the message came, you are put out of the system, out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people. Where do you go? How have we come into the message? We have come into the message. Well, at first it sounds so okay, you know. I have come into the message. You know, do you believe the message? Have you all heard people talk like this? So, we came into the message. And after a while, I sense that this is something really, really wrong also. We come into the message. What message? If it is a message, it points us to something, not just the message itself. Right? See, something like this. Is the good news a message? The gospel. Is the gospel a message? Yes. So what is the gospel? I've come to the gospel. I've come to the gospel message. So what is it? So the question is, what is the message? Are you talking about? Have you come to the gospel message? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus? What? You know what I'm talking about. Do you come, when you come into the message tells you something. So from the denomination, go to the message. Now don't get stuck there. And that's what we have in Brennanism and Two Souls and all this doctrine. But do we need to leave this ism spirit? We came into the message that tells us to get us into the Word. And that is what God wants us to. Israel has gone back to their homeland. They have not yet settled themselves yet until Christ comes. Right? If we are children of the living God, if we have come into the message, we should come into the Word of God and quickly get ourselves settled. You know. So that Christ should come. As the Bible said, the wife and make herself ready. Are believers getting themselves ready? You know, while I was, I got that video that you saw early on. It was the third temple, just that, you know, drawing, just 1 minute video. I watched it on YouTube. It was actually from the Israel Network, but I clicked on YouTube to download it. So when I clicked go to the YouTube, I saw on the side of it the third temple, you know, a whole list about third temple. And here was it, the third temple was almost complete. Huh? I was surprised. Did I miss something? So I clicked on this third temple that was almost completed. And I found the person who posted was the same woman I told you about last week ago, Renee Moses. Huh? And she said, oh, the third temple is almost complete now. So what is she trying to say? So I listened for the first
Oh, she mentioned about first temple, second temple, the third temple. Now, oh, now I know what she meant by the third temple. The third temple to her is the church. We are the temple of God, she said. So I was a Christian when I was young. My father was a pastor. But my father preaches, I don't agree with him. I don't agree with the denomination concerning the tribulation, this and that. But God showed me, because I was interested in what God showed me. And she was a young girl. Growing up, and said, God showed me this, God showed me that. And many people said that. But why is the scripture? You see, God showed, the Pharisees would also say, God show us, there's no resurrection. Yet they believe the scripture. So what is revelation again? How important is revelation? Revelation is not something that pops out of the blue. Like many people have. Why did they get two souls? Oh, Brother Abraham said so. Where did Brother Abraham said so? You see, Brother Abraham said, the soul is the nature of the spirit. And yet Paul said there are two natures in us. Therefore, two nature, if nature is a soul, therefore two nature, two souls. How they equate that? You know, as I said, you cannot do equation in the Bible like this. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, how come the equation is wrong? If you have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, 1, 2, 3 must be 3, right? But no, it's not 1 + 1 + 1. It's 1 × 1 × 1. So you see how they come up with their... Well, what do you call that in mathematics? You call that formula. Right? Formula, huh? How do you arrive at it? So the Bible is not something that you could play with. If there's no consistency, you are lost. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus said, remember, you do greatly err. You are in error. Because you do not know the scripture. John chapter 5. And verse 39. Jesus said here, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Yeah, that's another rebuke to these religious people. Search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. You think you have eternal life, then you must know that they testify of me. You know, that's how true that is. You know. It's very sad that you go to website, in the end time message, you find that a whole lot of websites, 90% of it's all about Brother Branham. And here we have the Old Testament. We have Moses. We have Moses. We have the prophet. And you know, as I wonder, all these years, people miss the boat. Because they didn't understand the rules and the regulation. Sometimes you miss the flight. You know, one time I remember we went to Cambodia. I purchased my own ticket online. And Sister Nancy and who else went with him? Barakati, I think, and Christabel. And they went, they bought their own. So, you know, on the day we depart, I thought we all share this, we have the same time of departure. So while I was in the hotel packing in the afternoon to leave for the afternoon flight, when I took out my ticket and see, my flight, I missed my flight already because it was in the morning. And I thought because we all, you know, they all come together, so, you know, I was thinking that I have the same flight time. So, well, I didn't miss it. Anyway, I went to the airport and get it cleared up. I told the man, I was in the group. I thought, you know, this is the same time. He said, okay, no problem. And he prayed a thank for it. You see, we need to be very careful about the Word of God. You search the Scripture. You think you have eternal life, yet they are there to testify to me.
By looking at Scripture doesn't give you eternal life. You need to know what the Scripture testifies of. You understand? Because the Scripture was written by the Spirit of God, Spirit moved man to write. Yes, it's the man that wrote it, the man that said it. So, Brother Abraham said this, Brother Abraham said that. But what did Brother Abraham say? He pointed to the one that is the life. All prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, if they are son of God, they have to point to one man. And that is Christ Jesus, the perfect man. The revelation, brother. You know how true it is that in denomination, though they hold to creeds and dogmas of their own, yet when you go to the pulpit, they always talk about Jesus, You know, they talk about Jesus, we talk about the prophet of old, how they prophesy about Christ. They will always lift up Christ. And now, it's so much different in the country. Yes, when I was in Cape Town with the brother Batsy, the pastor tried to persuade him to go back. Brandonism. Over in San Francisco, the one that I went to because I was with brother David Rajan, they believe in a return ministry of Brother Abraham. Brother Abraham is going to come back. They believe he's going to come back. What does the Bible say? How do they interpret those things? And I believe this. Don't tell me that because you are a Christian, whatever church, any church you go, don't tell me because you are a Christian, you make the rapture. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. Because that is a myth. You understand what I'm talking about? That is a myth. It's not real. Because the Bible tells us the way and make yourself ready. And just because you are a denominational Christian, you are just a Christian, and you can call yourself born again, you're going to make the rapture. Wow. You're going to find out from Scripture how to make the rapture. There is a way. And some people say, oh, brother, again, you mean to say that you are doing all the good works and you deserve rapture? I said, no. It's not about good work. It's about making myself ready. You know that by making yourself ready? How does a bride make herself ready? A woman who's going to get married, how does she make herself ready? In advance, the day that was set, right? She got to prepare what she wants to do, how she wants to do, what she wants to put on, where will be the venue of the marriage place. And all the unnecessary things, you know. Food and buffet or whatever. And as the day comes closer, oh, she really needs to really get really, really, really close to be more excited, getting really careful of all the details. And not in the last minute find yourself to be, oh, your dress are all crumpled up, your dress is some sport there. You see how important this really is. Make yourself ready. John 17:17. John 17:17 here. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And we are all made clean by the word of God. And when you talk about sanctification, if you're talking about the atonement work of Christ, okay? And once you are repentant of your sins, and you're born again, receive the Holy Spirit, you're already sanctified. Okay, you're a child of God. But that doesn't mean that there is no daily cleansing. Because Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians. Let's see, if I can find Ephesians, I think it's Galatians Ephesians. Let me see. By the washing of the water of the Word. Let's see, where is it? It's Ephesians 5:26, yes. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Huh? The blood of Christ is an atonement. Without the blood, there is no salvation. Right? But there is a washing, but that, you know why? You know, you see, because every time you go out, you know, it's sin. It's the same thing. For example, when a child is born, out from the mother, you know, there is always the likewise, you know, all the substance stuck on the child, a little blood here and there. So the doctor or the nurse give him a good bath. Alright? Very clean, nice soap. Nice special kind of soap, very, very clean. Is that the only one time that he's going to take a good clean up? He came out, he's alive, he's born, he's happy. I'm born. He bathed every day. And we bathe every day. How many of you bathe every day? No hand. You don't bathe every day. Oh my goodness. So you bathe every day. It's natural we clean because when we go out, we pick up dust. In this life, as a Christian, there's a lot of garbage that is coming against us. I'm telling you that. So we need to be washed by the water of the Word. That's why we need to fellowship, come together, worship, and hear the Word of God. You know. So, when we come to know this truth, remember one thing, it's not about the message and that's it. Like I said, years ago, I attended a meeting out here in Singapore. I can't remember what was that building that the convention was held. Back in the first church. And I went there just to attend, and after the service over, everybody laughed and we just hang around and shake hands. And here was the preacher. I went up there and shook hands with him. And he asked me, "Who are you?" I said, "Oh, my name is Richard Penn." You know. And I asked him, "Where are you from?" You know. He said, "Oh, I'm from around Jeffersonville." I believe that's what he said. And he said, "Oh, I've been there." "Oh, you've been there?" You get all excited. "So where did you go in Jefferson? What church did you go?" I said, "I went to a Faith Assembly church, to Brother Raymond Jackson." "Oh, do you know what this man did?" Blah, blah, blah. I start to shoot him down. No. Whoa. Start to say all kinds of things about Brother Jackson. And I just smile, you know. And, you know, this is where the problem is. He said all that, and I just pause and just wait for him to stop. I said, "What's wrong with that, brother? What's wrong with that, you know? Brother again, I am a message, period. I believe in the message, period. But Brother Jackson, he believed in the message, plus." And I walk home and I says, "Lord, that's good. If there is a message period, a message plus, there must be a message minus." And true enough, message period are for those who put a full stop in the message and don't move on. Message plus are people who believe the message about them, plus that God is going to reveal more. And that's why we plus what we have. And those who have message minus, they still the message of Brother Branham minus the scripture. Oh yes, you haven't seen it. I have seen those, they go up to the pulpit without even the Bible. They minus the whole thing about. All the thing it says is about what Brother Branham said. That's what it is. Oh my, you know, I just wonder how foolish can people get. What did God tell Moses? Joshua, rather. After Moses died, the mantle was passed upon to Joshua. He said, now, Joshua, remember to teach the people what I've given to to Moses. All that Moses have taught you, hold on to it. But I also will guide you when you get over. So you see that it doesn't stop it, Moses. The Spirit is the God is the God of the living, not of the dead. You know what someone's talking about, huh? You see, God has a living ministry today. But many people, I'm telling you, very sad. All those years that I know back in the 70s until now. But I believe many of them have backslidden or even fall away from the faith. Why? All they do is put on the tip of Brother Branham. They don't go to church because they don't agree with everybody else, every church. Just like there's one brother I talked to, now he has his own church. In those days when he doesn't even have one because he had conflict with the other churches. And I talked to him. I said, where do you go to church? Where do you go now? He says, I'm not going anywhere. I says, why not? Oh, what, you want me to go to your church, but again? He said, no, I didn't ask you to come to my church. I said, what does the Bible say about perfection? If you stay home, how are you going to get perfected? You see, we have people like this. And that's why you have people staying home just listen to dear Brother Brown. If you don't have a church to go to, I understand. You know. And even I encourage people at least on Sunday. Go to a church nearby. They worship just to worship God. You don't have to believe what they teach. Just worship God. Hard because of the confusion we have. Alright, let's go on. Let's go to John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Simple. 1 John 5:6. This is he that came by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bear witness because the Spirit is truth. And I said this before. Don't, you know, it's common saying, I'd rather have the right spirit than the right doctrine and all that thing. But if you have the right spirit, you will have the right doctrine. If you have the right doctrine, you should have the right spirit. It's vice versa. John 16. Verse 13. How speak, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. That's the purpose of the Spirit of God. It's all about showing Christ. It's all about Christ. You see, that's why Israel, because they missed. Oh, we will say not missed, but you know, in the Bible, in the days of the Bible, yes, the people, those Jews, many, not very many of them actually came to accept Christ, but it's only as time passes, you know, they rejected the gospel because they are so deep rooted. We would say, just like in Japan, the Japanese people are very deep rooted in the, you know, from what was given to them out of the Edo period. And we have Israel just the same. That Judaism teaching, the elders, the TikTok things that were taught by the elders, you know, in the days of Jesus Christ, and still return back to the people, still hold on to it. You know, to all those, they are what we call that the diaspora. They still, you know, they have been holding on to it all those years. And today is still the same. You know. So, they cannot break away from it, and you can never have the truth. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. No wonder even Peter said often that try to bring all this to remembrance. And that's the Holy Spirit always, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to, you know, wake us from our slumbering. To bring our minds back to the Word. To bring things that we have learned to be true and taught the truth. You see. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He cannot bring you back to something else that is not even in Scripture. You see. I don't know about you. I believe that those of you who have the first time came across the message of Brother Branham, and you saw the light, it was a thrill, wasn't it? Yes. You know. And this is what exactly what happened now is Brother Nice gave me all the reports in Nigeria, in the surrounding nation, Africa, where the books went. And when people read them, they said, how come we don't see this? And this is the truth. For years there have been, of course, as I said, that when you are locked yourself into an ism, it's a spirit that binds you. You are living in bondage. As much as Israel is a people of God, do you know that they are in bondage to their religion? Yes. They are in bondage to their religion. Because they do not know Christ. But God is going to open your eyes soon. But just imagine all those years. How sad it is. Because the people in those days, their forefathers, scream out, let His blood be upon us and upon our children and our children's children. Oh, truly, God hold to their words. And all those that say all those things all those years, they have to stand and give an account of God for the blood. They are descended. They have never come to the realization of who the Messiah is. And their defiance. You know, God is full of mercy. We know that song. Full of grace, full of mercy. Yet, when everyone does to defy God, what will happen to them? God will take them at their word. And look at the millions of children growing up without knowledge of the Messiah, and how many of them died out there in the Holocaust. Yeah. God didn't do a thing. Sometimes we wonder why God not do a thing. Like the, you know, well, as I was happening to be on YouTube, and you know these Marvel comic characters, Iron Man and Fantastic Four, all those, you all probably know about it, you know, people like fantasy. And the person who is well known for it, Marvel comic, is Stan Lee. And I happened to go on YouTube and I saw that he wrote a song called God Work. He wrote a poem, not a song really, a poem. God Work. It's a very nice poem, very sarcastic in a way, of course, because he said, I don't know if God is, there is God, I don't believe in God. And yet, Larry King asked him, what happens if you die? Well, you fear death? No, I don't fear death. So you said, when you die, what happens? He said, that means nothing. And then he said, but how long is nothing? Is nothing eternal? And in this poem he wrote about the problem in the world. God sees the problem. He didn't do a thing, this and that, this and that. He saw the people, how they behave, and God cried. Or it's the same what we wrote in the book of Genesis. It repented God that created man. Is that alright? Because God has feeling. When God looks up on the world today, he sees all that is going on. Don't tell me that God doesn't cry. He has feeling. Look at the children that are dying out there in Syria. Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Somalia, Sudan, Liberia, Sierra Leone, because of this corrupt man out there who governed the whole country. Look at North Korea. You think that is not very nice at all, big show? A lot of you are suffering right there. And the world is not going to get better. The world, since after the flood, has become worse. Until Jesus Christ come and set up the kingdom, then there will be peace forever. And not before. He will rule with a rod of iron. And he's going to be strict about it. There is no such thing as flexible law. You don't break that law. You know how people say, well, you can bend the law a bit, you know, just bend it a bit. Now, since I've known this, talk so funnily, he says, yeah, even if you bend a bit, you might not know when it's going to break, and hence what happened? You cannot go back anymore. You see, God's law, you cannot bend God's law. And that's what I said. If you call yourself a Christian, born again and all that, and you don't even have a desire to get yourself ready in the truth, you're going to tell me you make the rapture like that? How is the rapture going to take place? And all the people are asking now. There are people who don't believe in the rapture anymore. Some people say, oh, we are already in the tribulation. Is the great tribulation going to affect the whole world? Yeah, I mean, people have all denied it.
You know, tribulation start in Singapore. All these Singaporeans going to come under the Antichrist. And then you're going to have a mark on your forehead and your forearm. So all the questions come in. What about people in Mongolia or Siberia? What is going to happen to people out there? There's a lot of things we do not know. But the Bible will give us a little understanding as we go along. But the most important is, what do we do at this present moment? Do we have the revelation? How do we stay with the Word of God? Huh? That's good enough. John, 2 Timothy, sorry. What do the Spirit do? He leads us into the Word. And what about the Word? The Holy Spirit took us into the Word, yes. And here we know 2 Timothy, well-known verse that we all know anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. This is what we are looking for. And anybody come and tell me that, oh, this is not important, that is not important, doctrine is not important, this is not important, God looks at the heart and all these things. Oh my, I feel very sorry for such a person. Do you know that a lot of people can sing, I have Jesus in my heart. You know, yeah, a lot of people can sing. When I was in the Assemblies of God, in the church, there are deacons, Sunday school teacher, who was, at that time when I was there, they are older than me at least by 4 or 5 years. But you know what happened? Some of them seem to be going downhill. They said there are people who have been a Christian for 20, 30 years. Next moment, disappear. Right. Hebrews tells us, chapter 6, they have tasted the heavenly blessing. And you backslid over there and deny Christ. You know. So, the Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That we might be perfect, the man of God, the woman of God, be perfected, thoroughly unto all good works, good manifestation of a Christian life. So it's not about, I'd rather have a right spirit and the wrong doctrine. No. If you say you have a right spirit, how come your doctrine are so wrong? And if you have a right doctrine, how come your spirit are so wrong? Either way it doesn't work. Either way something is wrong anyway. I have seen people who are not Christian have a very nice spirit. Right? You have seen that? Sure. They don't have doctrine of Scripture. They are not Christian, and yet they are very charitable. Show a lot of kindness to people. Oh, you have those religions, yes. Confucianism, Buddhism, Taoism. You see that? So for the Christian to say, I don't have a right spirit and the wrong doctrine, it's just a whole full of, you know, just hypocrisy. Doesn't know what he's talking. You err because you do not know the Scripture. You can never have the right spirit to begin with as far as a Christian is concerned. You know. There are people who say, I don't know about God. Like one of my half-brother. He told me, he says, I don't know, Richard, I don't know whether there is a God or not. Which God, if there is a God, which religion is correct? So I just leave him be. It's simple, huh? To sort of
shrug our shoulder.
I don't know. So
when I stand in judgment, God, I don't know. I don't believe it's real. People, you know, they try to defend like that. As if like an ostrich, bury his head in the hole in the sand and see no evil, see nothing. So I don't know anything. So don't blame me. I'm innocent. I'm not guilty. Huh. That's what we will do. And that's what the people of Branhamites are doing. Holding on to the tailcoat of Brother Branham. Brother Branham said so, I believe so. Amen. Moses said this, Moses said amen. Abraham this. And yet, even if Jesus Christ said that, if you know who and what Brother Branham was teaching, you will know he's talking about me. Because I'm the truth and nothing but the truth. Isn't it true? Because that's what it is all about. Every servant of God, every child of God, we point to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We testify of Him. That's what it is. And John the Baptist said, He will increase and I will decrease. But when He came at that time, oh, John the Baptist, do you know John the Baptist is going to preach up there? Let's go see him. John preached so hard against the system, the political system as well as the religious system. Because John is not running for government. You know, but he's just hitting it out, the truth. And people like to hear it. But here came Jesus. Nobody knows who Jesus was. They heard about him being this, a carpenter's son and all that. And he started to identify who Jesus was, and then he said, He will increase and I will decrease. But there are a group of people that follow John, and they never heard about the gospel. But if their hearts were right, they were seeking for the truth. But they were not taught the real thing. God sent His servants to go there. Even Paul, Aquila, so that these believers have a chance to understand the truth, and the truth set them free. You know the story of Genesis 24 about Rebecca? Genesis chapter 24. Here we have a very important lesson that we must never forget. He said Abraham was old and was stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that is Eliezer, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, your hand upon my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord Yahweh, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. You see, simple instruction. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan. All those around him were the Canaanites. And God promised that this land was going to be yours. And he told Eliezer, now I'm going old and I want you to get a wife for Isaac. But don't you ever get a wife out of this country. Go to my homeland. Go back where I came from. Kindred kind. And get a wife for Isaac. You see, this is very simple instruction. And Eliezer said, what happened if the woman don't follow me? You know, of course, there's always this. I said, don't ever then. Don't ever take a woman from here. And Abraham said in verse 6, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Ah, that's another thing. If you cannot bring a wife from there, don't bring my son back to my country. Very strange. Two instructions. Clear enough. Don't take a wife from this land for my son. If the woman don't come, don't you bring my son back to the land. Don't look back from where you came. You move your journey, you don't go back. God says, if you have fall back, you have no more pleasure in me. I have no pleasure in you. You know how serious it is. You don't identify yourself, identity. What we call be one with someone who is not of the kingdom kind, not of the same faith. And you go backwards. Move forward. When you move forward, God's going to deal with it. Have faith in God. You say, Abraham had faith. Peradventure, if the woman don't follow me, then don't you bring my son back. Truth looks not back. You understand that? What proceeds from truth? There is always, what is truth? Truth is, well, Jesus is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Truth means the word. Thy word, O Lord, is truth, right? And God, and Bible says, the word of God, and God is the, the word was God. So the word and the God, they are one. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word and the, was with God, and God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God. So you don't separate word and God. Do you understand? Word is in God. You get the point, huh? So God is love. So the word is love. So what comes first? Love or word? Some people say, well, God is love. So love comes first, then come truth. Oh, really? In the beginning was the word. He didn't say in the beginning was love. It is the word of God that God desired to make man, then he expressed his love. Because in God's attribute, in the word, the attribute is love, mercy, grace, and many, many other things. Yes, sir. In the beginning, you can say it was Redeemer. But you cannot have Redeemer when you don't have the truth. You need to place what is first. So what proceed from each other? Does the truth proceed from love or love proceed from truth? If you have truth, love will come forth. If you have truth, love will come forth. That's why Elisha went back to the homeland and talked and find a wife for Isaac. And then finally found the family. There was kindred kind to Abraham. And then he told his whole story. And then finally, he has to leave. But the parents of doesn't want Rebecca to leave. They said, okay, let's ask the lass. So Rebecca came, would you come with me? Rebecca said, yes. Love followed the truth when it's presented. And guess what? Love came into the truth. And the same old thing in the book of Genesis about Adam and Eve. You know about Adam and Eve, right? What happened in the past? Rebecca and Isaac, we know, you see, okay, love proceeds forth from truth. But in the Adam and Eve case, oh, it's a problem. It's the other way around. And we got into trouble. For God had already told Adam, of this tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. Right? So Adam had the truth. But you know, when Eve fell into sin and commit transgression, she came to Adam. You know, told him very nicely, you know, it's very nice, and this and that. And no, Adam knew that Eve is a goner. But you know, Adam has a truth. What did he do? He followed love instead of love following truth. If Eve, who represents love, have hearkened to the truth and not move away and listen to the words of the serpent, everything will be fine. Huh? If you don't put truth first, if you think love is all important, then you are misled. Are you following what I'm saying? Huh? For God so loved the world, for God who is the truth, the word, He so loved the world that He gave love to the people. It is not from love that truth proceed. It is from truth that love proceed. Don't misplace. And that's why we said the Word was God. And the Word was manifest in the flesh. Don't put the Word as saying that the Word was equal to Jesus. You see how when people have a misplacing of truth, you get into a problem. And the Bible is written in many ways, very confusing many times, especially in the book of Genesis. When I start to read more and study that in writing this book, I discover a lot of things, a lot of places, how that people can really get misled because the way it was written. 1 John. 1 John 4. Verse 6. First John 4, verse 6 to 13. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now this is a very bold statement that John made. You see, we are of God. He that knows God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now, so what do we do today in this Christian world? There must be a people that are of God. There must be ministers that are of God that people will have to hear. And those that will not hear, they are not of God. There have to be, because this exists in those days. It exists in every generation. You know that, don't you? Huh? When John Wesley came, how many people really hear him? See? When Calvin came, how many people hear him? And then he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that love is born of God and know God, because they know the word. And he that love not, know not God, for God is love. If in this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Remember about the truth he's talking about? Huh? And he said, God then loved the world, sent his Son, sent love to us. Love proceeds from God. Love proceeds from truth. Love proceeds from the Word. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now you go branch up, segue, vertically, heavenly, downward to us, horizontally from above down to us, now is vertical. Vertical from heaven to us, and then now is horizontal. So we love one another. We ought to love one another. No man have seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John 8. Let's go back to John 8 again. And we have 31 onwards. We must read 31. We only read 32, but now let's read 31. Alright? John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Thus said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You see, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed. Now, if you don't continue in the word of God, that's another different thing altogether. When he said continue in the word, what does it mean? What does it mean? Just continue to be a Christian and believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he's the Savior of the world. And there's no interest in the Bible other than that you have salvation. Huh? If you continue in my word, continue means it's an ongoing thing. It's not just a one-time thing. When you are born again, I mean, when you are born into this world, you cry, you eat, you go to a toilet, you breathe, you grow, you bathe. Everything is always a continual process, ongoing thing, till you reach maturity. And you continue instead of going up. When you reach maturity, it's on your way down, because you have to go. So the same thing is this. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Don't go into backwards. What it goes, let's read Ephesians, a few more verses. Ephesians chapter 6 now. What do we have in Ephesians chapter 6? Verse 13. And 14. Okay. I'll be read to 13 to 18 anyway. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. Important to pray for one another, exhorting one another, building one another's faith. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of this thing, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. And be established in the present truth. Now he's talking about the present truth, he's not talking about past truth. Peter spoke about it, the present truth. Oh, some people say, well, see, present truth, the people Peter was talking about was in his day. Wow. Present truth is present truth. It's always present. And you know, God is not a God who stops. He continues working in the life of people. He continues to reveal truth. He doesn't stop. Yeah, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to study up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that surely I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord have shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we make known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. "Well unto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shine in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old days by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." We have a more sure word of prophecy. No. If it is more sure word of prophecy that's talking about, it doesn't end. The prophecy is always bringing more light to it. A light. Until we see the day star. We continue. And when we see a day star, let the day star shine around us. Oh. And you know, Paul, they're talking about the coming of the Lord. Do you know how long has it been? When they wrote the scripture until now, Christ seemed not to be around. There are a lot of people who got tired of waiting. Some people say, "Oh, I've been a Christian." You go on YouTube and see. Many times those people who put on video and all, they comment all kinds of things. Some of them say, "I was a Christian for many years." You know. And to them, they think it's just a wonderful story, a religion, that's it. But if they know the scripture, and you know what the prophecy talks about in this end time, we are in a dark place around the world. But the sure word of prophecy is light to us. It's revelation. First, Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 17. Paul here prayed, and I think it is so very true. But many people miss this text even. Paul said, he sees not, verse 16, "sees not to give thanks for you, making mention of you, my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." No, I believe many people forgot about this. Maybe they don't even see this text at all. Very commonly for the Trinitarians, that we don't know about God. God is infinite. And we are finite, so we don't really understand God. That's not true. Paul uses contrary to what they say. Can we not know God? Sure, Paul said so. "Give you unto you the spirit of wisdom," and wisdom that is the wisdom of God's word. For that's what wisdom is in metaphor. You can find that over in the book of Psalms, Proverbs, all about wisdom. Wisdom, behold the Father's face. Wisdom was in the bosom of the Father. Wisdom is God's, his word. Give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation. Word and revelation connect together. And you want to know him, you got to have wisdom of the word of God. And that's why revelation is given to you, because it's connected to the word of God. Jesus Christ, the revelation of God. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, do you know what he says? Come to it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. What does he say there? People don't look at it, don't understand it. That's why you talk about the wisdom. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. He didn't have anything. It's the word of God that is put in him. The fullness of the word of God is in him. I say, the revelation God give to him, and he give it to you. If he give it to you, how does he give it to the revelation? It has to come by the word, by the spirit of the word in it. Move away from darkness of traditions, of Christian dogmas, of ideology, and all kinds of things. People don't seem to want to grow. I will close. You know, I remember back in those years when I mixed with some of the believers here, they all get so excited about things that are, well, okay. They get excited because they do not know, I understand. But from there, where do they go? One time somebody said, do you know, Reverend said, that Adam has no navel. He goes, I have no navel, no navel. Huh? You all know that, don't you? Yeah, some of you, you know what navel is? The little button here, belly button. Adam has no belly button. Eve has no belly button. Abraham said so. What a wonderful revelation. What? Abraham is not the one that brought forth. Because denomination already know that. Because when Adam and Eve was created, they were not born. So if they were not born, why do you need the belly button? What is your belly button come from? Where does it come from? It came from the umbilical cord attached to your mother. That's why you have a belly button. God don't give Adam a belly button. You know what I mean? And then another one come and tell me, oh, what a wonderful revelation. Do you know the blood of Abraham that Joseph was a widower? So, if he was a widow, so what then? What part does he play in doctrines of life? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And yet the very thing about the deeper thing that take us further into the world, they don't see. As long as these people hold on to Barabbas' word, all they have is all kinds of doctrine, polygamy, two souls. Problem is coming back, he's going to fly the plane, or go in the plane anyway, around the world. And you know how old the plane is? It's still out there. It's an old plane. It's going around the world, I think, preaching for 30, 40 days or something like that, a quick short work. Dream on. Problem is not coming back. It's Jesus Christ that's coming back. If we are all blind to this, that's the reason why. If people need to understand, if you don't hold to this word, you hold on to creeds and dogma, all the ideas and ism, then we are going to get lost. Very, very lost. Revelation. And revelation is in the word, by the Spirit of God given to us. Otherwise, you don't have it. Do you understand? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what it is. May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, Father, for this love that you so generously, O God, give to mankind. Showing your grace and mercy in Christ Jesus, they might have eternal life. But Lord, we know that many are not seeing the truth. Many are not accepting you, Lord. Because, Lord, you know what's in men. But we are thankful, Father, because you have given us this privilege. You have chosen us. We have not chosen you. And in that, Father, we give you all the praise and the glory. For thou art worthy of praise. We bless the holy name, Lord. We ask for your blessing in Jesus Christ. Amen.